Welcome to the Compass Podcast, featuring Chris Shandro and the Compass team. We hope this message is just for you.
We are in week three of our message series entitled Dream Big. And our goal really is for you guys is at the beginning of every new year is an opportunity to begin thinking about your goals, your resolutions, to begin dreaming about what your new year is going to look like. And it feels like at the beginning of the year that just, you know, anything's possible. And what we want is for you to dream the biggest dream that you can dream for 2018. To expect the biggest and best things to happen in your life for 2018. And so what we've been talking about are some things as it relates to a relationship with God and some of the things that really God wants to see happen in your life to make your dreams as big and as exceptional for 2018 as possible. And so in our first week, we talked a little bit about how God can do more than we could ask or imagine in our lives. That there's really nothing that we could dream up that God couldn't make happen in our lives. And so sometimes the little tiny dreams that we dream or that we allow ourselves to kind of focus on, whether it's because our dreams have not come true in the past or whether it's just difficult or hard or there's been failure, whatever reason we dream small dreams, that God is capable of doing more in your life and more for your life than you could ever have possibly imagined or dreamed. And then last week, Mitch talked to us about how God is knowable. That the God who created the universe is knowable. We can know him, that he wants to know you and he wants you to know him. Now, and so for those of you who might be in the room today and you're agnostic and you're like, you know, I believe maybe there's a God, but I don't think, you know, you can know him one way or the other. Maybe you don't believe in God, you're not a Bible person or Christian. That Mitch really kind of just wanted to present you the idea that maybe to wrestle with the idea that there is a God and that there's a God that you could know. That was a big thought, and that maybe for you, the dream that you could have in 2018 is to get to know this God in a real and transformative and a powerful way. And so this year, I want to scale up our conversation a little bit to talk about the size of our dreams. Now, I have this kind of internal, you know, debate with myself, and a lot of times I'll bring it up with other people too because I'm just really curious about what the answer is for people when they think about it. And it's this question that many of you guys have had asked to you, and it's, if you had one wish, if you like, you know, pulled a bottle out of your cabinet and you were wiping it down and a genie popped out, right? And he's blue and he's singing musical numbers and he says, I'm going to give you one wish. What would that wish be? That's a huge question to wrestle. If I could have one thing, and like a genie, he can do anything, right? If I had one wish, what would it be? And even now you're just thinking, what would my wish be? You're whispering it, yeah, I don't think I'd do this. So some of us would be like, I would wish for $1 million, right? I would just want $1 million so that I could be set for the rest of my life. Some of us, it's all about money. But some of us, it's like, I would wish for like my dream job, and that, you know, I would get promoted in my company and I would just have the dream position, you know, in my office or where I work. That'd be awesome. Some of you guys would have a dream where it's like, you know, I've always had problems with my knees and I would just, my wish would be that like my knee problems would go away or that, you know, my grandma's cancer would be gone and that would be my wish, that thing would be healed. And I think what's interesting when you think about the one wish question is that even though I think it's easy for us to jump to things that we think are fairly big in our lives, sometimes I think that even though we want to tackle big problems with that wish, I think that our wishes can sometimes be smaller than they need to be. And so, like, I think I've figured out some of these. So, like, if someone said, I would wish for $1 million, how many of you guys would be like, $1 million? That's totally a wish. Easy. Yeah. I think that's one that would just naturally come to people. My wish, if I had one wish, would not be for $1 million. My wish would be that every time I wanted to buy something, that when I reached into my pocket, I would have the right amount of money to buy whatever I wanted. Right? Because then I can buy more than $1 million worth of things. Yeah. Okay, now you're thinking, now it's going. So like for me, rather than wish that, you know, whatever's wrong with my body or maybe my grandma's sickness, rather than wish that I wish that would go away, I would wish that everyone that I know would never suffer any ill effects from any disease ever again for the rest of their lives. Boom, okay, then it's just like, it's not just my knees that's working, now it's like everything is working, okay? And if you're over 40, everything will be working, right? It's gonna be great. Some giggles there. The one wish question, it really forces us to wrestle with the idea of like, how big are our dreams? How big really are we thinking about the things that we want to see happen in our lives? And so today I want to talk to you about someone who in the New Testament was really one of the biggest dreamers that's talked about. And his name was Peter. Now, Peter was a disciple of Jesus. He followed Jesus around. He listened to Jesus' teachings. Jesus invested in Peter, was developing Peter. And so Peter was someone who just learned from Jesus and wanted to follow him with all that he could do. And Peter was a guy who pretty much in every situation, he was always the one who was thinking two or three steps ahead of everybody else. So Peter was always the guy who was ready to like go big with something. Peter was the guy who like would pop over to a friend's house and his friend, you know, pops out, you know, his ukulele and plays a couple little notes. And he's like, dude, you know what we should do? We should start a band to go multi-platinum today. Let's do this thing. We can do it. Okay, that was Peter. Peter's the guy who like, if you work with your friends and you maybe make a little, you know, YouTube video that's just kind of fun. He's like, dudes, you know what we should do? We should sell everything we own, move to Hollywood, make a movie, win an Oscar, and then get our names on a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Let's just do that, okay? Let's just do that. Peter thought that anything was possible. He was a big dreamer. And I want to talk to you guys a little bit about a story from Peter's life, which coincides with a story from Jesus's life that I think kind of talks to us about how we dream, the dreams that are capable and possible in our lives, and really how God can influence and impact our dreams. And so we're going to take a look at Matthew chapter 14. We're going to start in verse 22. And it starts this way. It says, immediately after this. So after this, what was this? This was right after Jesus had done the miraculous and he fed 5,000 people. Jesus was teaching to people on this massive hill and he was down at the seafront and he was teaching for hours and hours. And some of you guys have sat through services here and you're like, dang, I wish Chris would shut up. Jesus just went on and on this one time and it was getting late. People were getting hungry and Jesus was like, we gotta feed these people. And so there's a kid, he had just a couple pieces of bread, a couple fish. And so Jesus starts breaking these things up, putting them into his disciples' hands, and he says, here, go feed people with these crumbs. And so the disciples are like, what's this? And they go out and they start literally breaking off pieces of bread in their hands and they're giving it to people. And as they do that, it multiplies in their hands. And so they can give it to more and they break it off. So it's like literally they break something in half and then it multiplies to what it was before until they feed 5,000 people. This amazing, miraculous thing has happened. The disciples are on this crazy high because again, it wasn't like Jesus did this, right? It wasn't like Jesus said, here guys, I'm gonna go do something amazing. Jesus said, here, I want you guys to do something amazing. And this stuff multiplied in their hands as they fed people. So the disciples are on this crazy high. They're like, dude, I'm gonna be up all night. This is amazing. Peter's probably like, dudes, we should start a restaurant right here. We'll call Jesus' fish and chips. And we're like, dude, and like literally there'll be no overhead because the food is free. It's just gonna be awesome. And then Jesus says this, he tells his disciples right after this, he insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross over to the other side of the lake or the Sea of Galilee where they were at, while he sent the people home. So Jesus is like, guys, I know you're hyped. This is amazing. But we got a long journey ahead of us. We're crossing the lake. We're going to go to a town over there, and we're going to do the same thing there. I need you guys to go be my advance team, okay? So just go get things ready. Just be ready for me, and I will catch up to you there. Okay, I'm going to send everybody home. So the disciples like, yeah, let's do this. So they hop in the boat, and they start sailing across the Sea of Galilee. Now, here's the thing. The Sea of Galilee, I mean, it's a big lake, okay? It's like, you know, it's like 13 miles long by 8 miles wide. So there's points where you're out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee where you don't see the shore. It's like Lake Michigan, right? You go to Lake Michigan and you think, oh, this is a nice lake. And then you're like, oh my gosh, I can't see anything on the other side. This is an ocean, okay? And that's what the Sea of Galilee was. And so the disciples hop into a boat and they start sailing across the sea. And then it says this, after sending them home, the people, Jesus went alone up to the hills by himself to pray. And while he was up there praying, night fell while he was there alone. So disciples are in a boat, they're sailing across the Sea of Galilee, they're hyped, they've just seen incredible things, and they kind of get out to the middle of the sea, and it's dark, night falls. The story continues. About 3 o'clock, in verse 24, it says, meanwhile, while Jesus is praying, the disciples were in trouble far away from land because a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. So the Sea of Galilee geographically is interesting because it's surrounded by topographically just very high land, just high elevation land. And as a result of that, what'll happen is at just weird random times, as wind starts to sweep across Israel, it'll kind of hit where the sea is and it'll drop down into the valley where the water is. And the cliff walls or the higher elevations will kind of compress that wind. And when these storms or these squalls hit the Sea of Galilee, they can just be massive and they can literally come out of nowhere. So the disciples out at night in their boat are sailing across the Sea of Galilee. It's dark. They maybe got some lamps. And all of a sudden the winds start. Now, four of the disciples that we know of were professional fishermen, okay? Four of these guys literally lived their lives out on the sea. Interestingly enough, much of the time they would have spent out on the sea would have been in the dark, early morning. 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning probably would have been times where they were out because that's when fish would be active. And so this is not strange for them to be out on the water like this. And yet, Matthew, who tells us this story, he writes that as they're out in the middle of the sea, he was there, one of the disciples. So this is eyewitness account, someone who was there. He says that the waves started to rise and the winds started to hit. And he says the disciples were in trouble. Again, at least four of these guys are professionals on the water. And for them to be in trouble means this is big, that this is bad. The storm that's hit them out on the Sea of Galilee is very bad. And so, you know, they're out there sailing. They were super hyped and ready to go. And now all of a sudden, all the adrenaline has gone down and fear starts to set in as the waves get higher and higher and the boat's getting tossed around and waves are just crashing over the side and they're wet and they're terrified because they know how bad this is. And so in the middle of the night, they're freaking out a little bit. And this is what happens. At about 3 o'clock in the morning, who knows how long these guys were out there in the middle of this storm? But it's 3 o'clock. This is what they see. They see Jesus coming toward them, walking on the water. Okay, now this, you guys maybe have heard this story before. Everybody's heard, you know, Jesus walks on water. But I really just want to, like, put you in the moment, okay? I want to put you in the moment. I want you to imagine it's dark. You have lamps, right? The only light that's out is lightning bolts that are crashing down, and with each lightning bolt, it illuminates the clouds in the sky. And with each lightning bolt, you can see how high the waves are that are crashing around you. And even as a professional fisherman who lives his life out on the sea, you're terrified because of this storm and how devastating and how bad it is. And it's about 3 o'clock in the morning, and a lightning bolt crashes, and the sky lights up, and some of the disciples are like, oh! And someone looks out like, oh, dudes, what is that? But there's no more lightning. It's still dark. They're rocking around. They're like, what is that? What is that? What is that? Guys, look over there. Look over there. Boom, lightning strikes again. The sky lights up in a couple of minutes. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. And Matthew's like, dude, did you see that? He's like, I'm glad that my clothes are wet. The waves are coming over because then no one will know that I peed my robe, which they had robes back then. And so the lightning bolt crashes again. And all of a sudden, all the disciples are looking out where someone's pointing. And they see a figure walking across the water at them. Now, I don't know if as a kid you've ever been in your room at night in a thunderstorm where lightning strikes and like you're laying in bed and all of a sudden the lightning strikes and, you know, the teddy bear that you were hugging, you know, when you went to bed a couple hours ago that's laying on the floor, you know, all of a sudden it's the scariest thing in the world because it has 4-foot fangs and it's ready to come get you and every lightning bolt that strikes, it looks like maybe that teddy bear is a little bit closer to the bed. Like, did it walk? Or the closet door that seemed really closed when you went to bed is like every lightning bolt strikes just a little bit more open. So the disciples see this figure out on the waves of a storm moving towards them. And they did what any of us would have done. Because they saw this figure and they were terrified. And in their fear, they did, what were you doing? They said, it's a ghost, right? That's a ghost. I mean, let's just be straight. If you're in the situation, it's a ghost, okay? And the disciples, just like us, are freaking out. So not only are they terrified of the storm, but now a ghost is walking across the water to come and kill them and eat their guts. Okay, at this point, I'm like, let me drown in a storm, okay? I would rather drown than have a ghost do ghost things to me and my body. I don't want any of that. And so the disciples, they are just, they in their fear, they're just terrified. And this is what happens. Because it's Jesus walking out on the water to them, and Jesus sees them freaking out. He could probably hear them screaming. He probably hears someone says, "Guys, I peed." It's just because it's just fear. And Jesus says this. He says he spoke to them at once, and he said, "Guys, don't be afraid. Take courage, because I'm here." He's like, "Guys, it's me. Okay, don't. I'm not a ghost. I'm not here to eat your guts. It's okay. It's me, Jesus. You are safe." Now, if I'm any of the disciples in that boat and I see Jesus walking out across the water of a storm to me and I realize it's not a ghost, first of all, I'm feeling huge relief, right? And secondly, I'm remembering that Jesus just fed 5,000 people. I'm seeing him do this miraculous thing walking on water. I'm immediately thinking, okay, this is my opportunity. I've got one wish that I can make to Jesus. And if I'm in the back of that boat, here's my wish. Jesus, make this storm stop. I'm very scared. I don't want to die. Please just make this stop. Now, that's a reasonable thing for them to wish for, because in other parts of the New Testament, we can see that a similar story has been told, that there was a storm as the disciples were sailing across the Sea of Galilee again, very similar to this. The disciples are freaking out about it. This is early on in Jesus' ministry. They hadn't really seen a lot of the things that Jesus was capable of doing or the things that Jesus would do. And Jesus sleeping in the back of the boat. They're panicking and freaking out. Some of the guys wake Jesus up like, "Dude, what are you doing? How can you sleep through this? We are terrified." And someone in the back of the boat's like, "And I just peed," you know? And so Jesus is like, "Guys, calm down, relax." And he literally like, "Just storm, shut up." And it does. So the disciples have seen Jesus do incredible, miraculous things. And they've seen him stop a storm before. Now, if I'm a disciple, I'm sitting in the back of the boat, I'm terrified. I see Jesus walking across the water. I think it's a ghost. I find out it's really him. I'm thinking, "Oh, Jesus, I got one wish, and I need you to come through right now. Stop the storm, because it's scary, and we need it to go away." This is a magic wish moment if I ever saw one. Jesus, just stop the storm. And this is what happens. Then Peter... Okay, Peter the dreamer, Peter the guy who can't keep his mouth shut, Peter the guy who's always excited about things that everyone's like, "Gosh, that's impossible, just stop." Peter called out to Jesus, "Lord, if it's really you, then tell me to come to you walking on the water." And all of the other disciples hear Peter step up to make this declaration to Jesus. They're like, "Peter, you idiot. No. Don't ask Jesus if you can get out of the boat and walk on the water in this storm just like him, you idiot. Just make him stop the storm first. And then if you want to get out and walk on the nice calm water and we can change our robes, it'll all be fine. You moron. In what world would you be in a boat on a storm? And Jesus, the person who could bring you safety and security, is literally walking to you on the water, showing his power over nature. In what world would you say, "You know what? Let the storm keep happening. In fact, Jesus, can we keep the storm? Because I want to know what it's like to surf on these waves like you are. I think this is really cool." Nobody would do that. And the other disciples just are like, "Peter, you moron, you idiot, you wasted our one wish. You wasted this one dream that we had in this moment to survive, to be safe." And I think that in life, a lot of times we have kind of like two dreams. So when you dream, our dreams can kind of fall into one of two categories. First category is it's a security dream. It's a dream of safety. It's the American dream, right? What is the American dream? American dream is that I have enough money to live a good life. I can buy a good house. I can buy a car, and I can raise my kids in safety and security, and just everything is going to be all right. My security dream is I just want to make enough money to be good. I just want to be healthy enough to live a decent, long life. It's a dream, and it's a good dream. It's a dream of security, and that's exactly the dream of all of the 11 other disciples. Their dream is this: I just want the storms to stop, and I want easy sailing. I just want the waves to go down, and I just want a smooth path. I just want Jesus to stop the storm so that we can be safe. So there's this security dream. Then there's this other category of dream, and this dream is not about safety. This dream is really more wrapped up in risk. In fact, it's risk-reward, really, is what it is. And this, I would call this the insanity dream. Okay, this is the dream that when people share it with you, you're like, bro, don't even waste your time. That's crazy. You cannot do that. The insanity dream is the dream that, it's the type of dreamer that Peter was. It's this, it's the crazy, I'm going to take super ridiculous chances. I'm going to take huge risks because if this risk pays off, this one in a million shot, then I'll be great. And then the 999,999 other, you know, chances, you know, I'm just going to cross my fingers and hope that I don't hit that, those. It's the insanity dream. And I think most of us, by default, it's easy for us to just rest in the security dream. And man, there's nothing wrong with that, right? Because security is awesome. Like, I want to be comfortable. I want a good, safe life where everything is okay. I don't want to take unnecessary risks. And there might be huge payoff at the end, but that's not a guarantee. And so I'd rather have this security dream than this insanity dream. And Peter jumps to the edge of the boat and he pops off this insane wish, this insane dream that he has, that dream to be like Jesus and walk out on the water of a storm. And Peter literally is saying, Jesus, let the storm keep going. Don't even stop it. I want it to keep going because I want to walk out on the storm like you in the lightning and in the wind and the waves. I want to do what the Son of God can do. The thing is, Peter was a God-sized dreamer. When Peter dreamed, he dreamt dreams that were the size of the God that he followed. And you know, let me just put it this way. If there is a God who created you, who created the universe, if that God exists, and if that God loves you and cares about your life, he cares about what happens to you, he cares about how your life ends up. If there's a God who created you, who loves you, and what happens to you matters to him, don't you think that that God would have God-sized dreams for your life? And don't you think that that God would want you to dream dreams for yourself that were as big as he was? Don't you think that God would want the dreams that you have for your life? Don't you think that he would want you to dream in such a way that you're like, I know how big, how awesome, and how incredible you are. And so I'm going to dream in such a way that you do something that no one else could do, that could never happen in any other way possible. Like when my kids ask for things for me, just depending on my mood. I mean, maybe it's like, yes, I want to give you everything. And sometimes it's like, no, you asked me this already. Stop it. You're bugging me. You're getting on my nerves. But when my kids hit me in that right mood, like when they hit me in the mood where I want to do nice things for them, man, I want to do nice things for them. Sometimes it'll happen where, you know, it'll just be me and one of my kids. Like, you know, sometimes it'll just be like me and Calvin will end up together. Terry has the girls somewhere. They're with friends. And there have been times where I'm like, dude, it's a Saturday, it's just the boys. Man, what do you want to do? And my thing is, when I'm saying, what do you want to do? I'm just like, dream. Dream for this day. What could possibly happen today? And the things that kill me, and this is good, Calvin, I'm giving you some pointers here, okay? So this will help you. More times than not, when I'm like, what do you want to do today? It's like, I don't know, I mean, I kind of want to just play some video games. I'm like, really? Do you want to just stay home and play video games? I mean, we can do that if you want to. I mean, yeah, I kind of want to play video games. I'm like, okay, well, do you want to get some food? Are you hungry? What do you want? I could just eat ramen noodles. And I'm like, in my mind, sometimes when I say, what do you want to do today? I'm like, name it. You want to go to Imperial Buffet and gorge yourself on crab legs? Fine. You know, you want to go to the game store and look at video games? I might be in the mood to buy something. You never know. I might be willing to do that for you. But every once in a while, I'll ask my kids that, and their dream is so small. And I think it's because what they expect from me is so small. I mean, I think on the whole, Calvin doesn't expect me every time I say, what do you want to do today? He doesn't really expect me to say yes to going to the virtual reality game place, okay? because it's $20 for each of us for a half an hour. So that's not gonna happen all the time. But sometimes when Calvin dreams big, I'm like, I am a big enough dad today to make this happen. And God, as he looks at us, it's like, listen, you're my kids. What do you wanna do today? And sometimes when we respond to God with our dreams, our response is something like this. What do I want to do today? Well, Lord, I would just like to be able to pay my bills today. And God, today I hope I don't get the flu. I mean, the best day for me would be a day where I don't catch the flu. And, you know, I could have a couple hours to watch Netflix tonight. And for some of us, that's a huge day, right? That's a win. But God's like, that's your dream? That's the dream for your life. And God's like, I am all powerful. I can do anything in your life. And he wants you to dream dreams that are God-sized. Peter was a God-sized dreamer. And a quality of God-sized dreamers that can apply to our lives, that we can think about and apply to our actions and the way we look at situations and circumstances, especially situations in our life where things might seem impossible or things might seem too hard, too big. I mean, this dream could never happen, but God-sized dreamers are always stepping out of boats. God-sized dreamers are not dreamers who dream about their security and their comfort. God-sized dreamers are dreamers who are always dreaming about how can I step out of this safe, secure situation and step into something that is absolutely and completely risky and trust and know that my Father in heaven has got me. God-sized dreamers are always stepping out of boats. Risk is not something that stops them. Fear is not something that stops them. They're always willing to say, I'm willing to dream big, outrageous, crazy dreams. And there's a couple things worth noting, right? The first is where the dream started, and the second is how Peter knew that this dream was worth the risk. Okay, now the first one, where did the dream start? This is awesome. The dream started in Peter, because Peter had a hero complex, right? Peter wanted to be the guy who was better than everyone else. I talked about this a couple weeks ago, how my dream in junior high was always for, like, you know, Nazis to come in, and I would, like, somehow Bruce Willis Die Hard the thing, and I'd be in an event in the school, and I would pop out, and I would literally kill Hitler, who'd been frozen but brought back to life. I just wanted to be the hero. Like, that was my junior high dreams. And Peter totally had that same hero complex. He wanted to be the guy who was doing these awesome and crazy things. This dream to go step out on the water originated with him. Which means this, it wasn't a dream that God said, Peter, here's what I want you to do. Now get that, Peter's God-sized dream was not something that Jesus told him to do. Jesus didn't say, guys, I want you to step out of the boat. It started in his heart. It started with him. Now I hope that frees some of you up, because I know that sometimes we can have paralysis by analysis and we can go, well, I don't know if this is the best thing. I don't know if this is the right dream because I'm just not certain that it came from God. And I don't know if God's gonna allow it to happen because it might just be me. And so I'm just gonna stay in the boat and I'm not gonna take any risks. I'm just not gonna dream this dream, and I'm gonna wait patiently until God tells me exactly what to do. A lot of times we wait for God to push us out of the boat. And sometimes God is just saying, tell me your dreams. Tell me what you want to do today. And that's what happened with Peter. Peter had a God-sized dream that started in him. Second thing, not just where the dream originated, but how did Peter know that it was a dream worth taking the risk? And this is interesting, because Peter didn't just jump out into the water, right? He didn't just get up on the edge of the boat and jump out and try to walk on water like Jesus, his master, did. But Peter's dream, his big, crazy, God-sized dream, was confirmed when Jesus said yes. See, Peter asked Jesus. He said, Jesus, tell me to do this. Let me do this. I have this dream. Is it okay with you? Can I do this? Will you make this happen for me? Because I know I can't do it on my own. It's interesting. He didn't even ask. It wasn't even like, Jesus, can I do this? It wasn't, Jesus, do you think it would be okay? Will I be safe? He knew that the only way this would happen is if God did the miraculous. And so he's like, Jesus, tell me to do this, because I know if you tell me it's okay, that it will happen. And the same is true for us today. It's that is that when we have God-sized dreams, sometimes they're going to originate in us. Sometimes we have a God-sized dream that people think is crazy. Maybe, you know, there's people who have had God-sized dreams. You know, just someone who literally, you know, lives in a small town in Kansas, and their God-sized dream is to somehow stop human trafficking and modern-day sex slavery that's happening around the world. Who in Kansas is going to be able to do that? And yet, a God-sized dream, when someone pursues it, it can do amazing things. There's organizations like the A21 campaign that literally started with one woman who said, you know what, something needs to change, and I have a dream that it can happen. And so now they funnel thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars into educating women who've been taken out of human trafficking and to prevention and to law enforcement. The Forgotten Initiative here in town, it started with one woman, Jamie Cabe. She had a dream that, you know what? I have a dream that the foster care community can be connected to churches, and that the churches can make up the difference for what our social service agencies are unable to do. And maybe the churches can make up the difference for what some parents were unable to do. And maybe churches could influence these kids' lives who are suffering incredible abuse and neglect. And maybe God could do incredible things. One woman had that dream. And so what did she do? She started a nonprofit. She started the foster kids. And now the Forgotten Initiative, who we work with to help the foster care community in Bloomington Normal, has expanded, not just in our community, not just in the state of Illinois, but the Forgotten Initiative has expanded nationwide. Because one person had a little dream that seemed impossible, and they went to God and they said, God, can I do this? Jesus, tell me to do this because I want to do this. God-sized dreamers are always stepping out of boats, and God-sized dreams, when given to Jesus, and then when Jesus gives them back to us, can always happen. Now, sometimes Jesus says no. There are times in my life where I've had big dreams for things that I wanted to do and accomplish. And sometimes God says no. God doesn't always say jump out of this boat. But there's always a boat that he wants you to jump out of. Because he wants you to dream God-sized dreams for your life. One thing Peter didn't do, he didn't sit in the back of the boat. God-sized dreamers, they live God-sized lives. And your dream requires more than a life of simple obedience. Now I'm gonna talk to church people, okay? I'm gonna talk to Christians for a second. I know that for us, it is very easy to sit in the boat and think, oh my gosh, God, Jesus forgave me of my sin, and now I've got this church community, and it's great, and everything's just kind of plugging along awesome in my life. And as long as I check off these things on my Christian checklist, and I go to church, and I pray and read my Bible, I can be comfortable, and I can live this comfortable, safe, secure Christian life. And I am afraid that followers of Jesus are not representing what it means to be followers of Jesus, because we're so content to sit in the boat and never take chances and take risks. Because for us, a simple life of just obeying God is enough. But Jesus wants more for you than a life of just obedience. God wants a life of massive dreams coming true. And when we have God-sized dreams, our God-sized dreams in the hands of Jesus can literally change the world. It can impact in ways that we could never anticipate. Do you know that slavery, when it was originally abolished in the United States in the 1800s, and it was abolished in Europe and in places like England, that started with followers of Jesus who had God-sized dreams that they could literally change the economy of the entire world. It started out with a few people with a big God-sized dream. It's civil rights in the United States. It originated with followers of Jesus who saw injustice that could never be tackled, never be broken on their own, and yet somehow they had this God-sized dream that everything could change, and they handed it to Jesus, and Jesus said, yes, get out of the boat. Take some chances because I want to do something in this. And now we take these things for granted. On the other side of the dream, it's easy to take it for granted. But at the start of those things were people who had God-sized dreams, and they put them in Jesus' hands. We had a dream that God kind of, don't know, it birthed in us and that God confirmed it and he moved in us. We had this dream that we want to become a multiplying church. So a little over a year ago, this new vision, this new dream kind of started in the leadership of our church. We want to be a multiplying church. We want to be a church that multiplies disciples, that multiplies groups, and ultimately a church that multiplies churches that multiply. So we want to plant churches that plant other churches. And that was a dream. And now, we meet in a school. We do not have a lot of money. I mean, often as a church, it's like we pay our bills, and it's like, thank you, Lord. Okay, let's check that off the list. Nobody spend anything, okay? We live there a lot. So we're not a church with a ton of resources. We're not a church that's like got millions and tons of people. You know, Eastview right down the street has thousands and thousands of people. We're not there yet. And yet God planted in our heart a dream to plant multiplying churches. Now, it would have been very easy for us to look at that as a security dream and say, you know what? That's a great idea. And someday, when we have the money, we're totally going to do that. And we'll do it right. And someday, when we have the people, when we have enough people where it's like we're busting at the seams and we can afford to send some people away and to start something new, we'll totally do that. We could have lived in that security world and just held on to what was safe. But Jesus said yes to us. And what's crazy is that this dream came up literally as a church when I talk about not having money. We were like negative broke as a church when this dream hit us. It just was impossible to be able to pull this off. And yet Jesus said yes. He said, step out of the boat. And so our leadership team prayed about it. We talked about it. We talked to you, our congregation. God raised up Lewis and Stacy who said, you know what? We have the same dream. We want to do this. And so last December, we planted Nexus Church. And again, we've talked about this before, but like literally in one Sunday, 20% of our congregation left and went somewhere else. 20% of the people in our church who volunteer, who do setup, who work in kids, who work in hospitality, just gone. 20% of the people who help fund the ministries of the church so that we can do what we do on a week-to-week basis, gone. And it was a little scary for, you know, a little bit. And yet, because God gave us a God-sized dream that just was crazy and stupid and impossible, and I can't tell you how many people outside of our church I talked to, how many other pastors who were like, we're going to plant churches. They're like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. And we're like, but we have no money. We don't have a ton of people to be able to do it with. And we just don't see how it's possible. But we're still doing it anyway. And they're like, maybe you should wait. Now, on the backside of it, they're like, oh, you're just doing the right thing. You're so brave. But secretly, they're like, I would never, ever do that. But God gave us a God-sized dream. We followed through, and we did it. And literally, like, the first day that Nexus launched, we went from being a church that reaches 180 people on a Sunday to being two churches that reach 230 people on a Sunday. And I tell you that, not because that's the biggest and most crazy thing that God has ever done in us or through us, but to tell you this, is that God-sized dreams take all sorts of forms and all sorts of shapes. And sometimes they start with God, sometimes they're birthed in us. But when Jesus says yes, this is possible. I will follow through with this. You can do this. He can do incredible and amazing things. And one of the saddest things, and I'm going to talk to church people here for a second. One of the saddest things for me to see in the life of people who are followers of Jesus or have a relationship with Jesus is those who have experienced his power, have experienced his love and transformation in their lives, but are content to sit in the boat and do nothing with it. We're going to have to sit and just wait out life and just wait out the storms and just, we're just going to chill back here and wait till everything is calm and eventually, we'll go to heaven and it's going to be awesome. But right now, right here, I'm just going to chill. One of the saddest things for me to see on followers of Jesus, and even if that's you in our church, is people who are not willing to dream God-sized dreams for their lives. And I just want to be safe and secure, never experiencing the abundant and the exciting and the powerful life that God has for them. You're not a follower of Jesus today. And so when I'm talking about God-sized dreams, you're like, well, that's great, Chris, but I don't really follow God. I don't even know if I believe in God. And what I would say to you today is that I just challenge you. Just weigh this out. Think about this. If there's a God who created you, If there is a God who loves you, then there's a God who has big dreams and plans for your life. In the same way that I care about my kids, I care about their future, I care about their success, I care about them having good things. If there's a God who created you, if there's a God who loves you, there's a God who cares about your big dreams. And I would just challenge you today. Would you be willing to take a step toward Jesus? Maybe today your big dream, maybe today the big dream that God is calling you towards is the big dream of just saying, you know what? I'm gonna accept that this might be real. And this might be for me. And so your big God-sized dream is just to believe in a big God. I'll wrap up with this thought. Are you satisfied with life as usual? Are you content to have a passing and a casual relationship with God where you are secure and you're safe in your spiritual eternity, but you live a life without any risk? Are you comfortable and content with a casual relationship with an all-powerful, limitless God who can do anything in your life? Are you gonna hold on to the rails of life and just wait things out, never taking a chance, never taking a risk, only dreaming dreams of your own safety, your own comfort, your own security? Are you going to be a God-sized dreamer, or are you going to be a sleeper? I know this. God wants you to dream big dreams. So what is an insane God-sized dream that might be in your heart today? What is something that you could never do on your own? What is something that you're passionate about seeing change in our world that you know, I could never do this. I hate that this thing exists and I want it to change, but I could never do anything about it. Maybe that's the start of your God-sized dream. What is an insane dream that only God could do in your life? A dream that God could accomplish in you, in your family, or in the lives of others, but you've been too afraid to step out of the boat to do. I think today God's looking down at each and every one of us and he's saying, what is your dream? What do you want to do? Where's your imagination at? Because I can do more than you could think, dream, or imagine. Let me pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this morning. I thank you for what you're speaking into our hearts and our lives. And I thank you, God, for the seeds of God-sized dreams that are in every heart in this room today. And some of those seeds may literally be the seeds of just a willingness to believe that you are who you say you are. Maybe that seed is just a willingness to explore the idea that Jesus is who Jesus said he was. And maybe those dreams are so big that it would be an impossibility for us to ever make it happen. But Lord, together we are looking up to you and we're saying, Jesus, will you tell us to do this? Jesus, is this dream that would be impossible for me on my own? A dream to build a relationship with a loving God that would be impossible on my own. A dream to change and transform the world, to bring healing to broken hearts and lives that I could never do on my own. Jesus, is this it? Will you help me? Will you send me out? Will you take my hand as I step out of the boat into a dream that only you could make happen, God? God, breathe life into those dreams. Breathe on those sparks and let them turn into flames in our lives, God. And I pray that as your church, that we would be a people, as followers of Jesus, that we would be the biggest dreamers on this planet, and that we would not just be dreamers, that we would be people who trust God to bring our dreams into reality, and we would see our world change. And God, for those of us who have maybe been unwilling to step into a relationship with you, and yet this morning, God, we can feel you speaking to our heart about your dream for our lives, to know you, to be close to a God who can be known. Lord, I pray that you would draw us and connect each of us to you in ways that only you can. Lord, we love you. We pray all of these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us at Compass. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you have any questions about Compass or this message, contact us at our website, www.compassbn.com.